Hello, and welcome to Small Screen Justice, a podcast about superhero TV. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jesse, and today we're discussing Gotham Season 1, Episode 14, The Fearsome Dr. Crane, The Flash Season 1, Episode 12, Crazy for You, and Arrow Season 3, Episode 12, Uprising.
Yeah, giving you lots of titles to say.
Yep.
Yeah, all right, so we're going to kick things off with Arrow this week, just because it just aired and it's fresh in our head, so we're excited to talk about it. So what did you think of Uprising?
I thought it was a really, really incredible episode overall.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that there were some issues toward the end, but like for the first 90% of it, I thought it was one of the better. I think it might actually, with the exception of possibly the Flash crossover, be the best episode of this season.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I was really, really psyched for a huge portion of this episode, and I still think the episode's really good. I'm giving it an A-.
Me too.
But yeah, no, as soon as Oliver returned, it was just like a weird shift in pacing, and the very end was had some issues for me.
Yeah, the stakes went way down,
yeah.
The interest level went way down. Everything that was at the end of this episode should have been at the beginning of the next episode.
Yeah, I agree.
And it would have been that would have been a good opening to the next episode, actually. Yeah. Like, it would have been a dramatic way to start an episode with, you know, off the coattails of this one if it had ended at the end of the battle with Brick. Mm. And, like, you know, everything was sort of up in the air. And then, like, we're, like, you know, tying up loose ends at the beginning of the next episode and, like, pushing things forward.
Well, but especially because, okay, so, like, this was Malcolm's episode, right?
Yeah.
So his climax happens, and then we have, like, another 6 minutes about where it's now shifted to a totally different main character.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it feels, I almost wrote down, I feel like we're in Lord of the Rings, you know, Return of the King, and we're getting three different endings. Like, because, like, that shot where Oliver, he's doing the whole big speech on the camera, and then he jumps with the thing, that totally felt like, okay, cut to Arrow, you're done. And
yeah, no, I was really surprised when more footage came up.
Yeah.
I, for a second, thought that, like, they were airing a promo or something like that. Yeah, it was weird, so, but
let's talk about the positive things first.
Yeah, because we both actually really liked this episode.
All right, so I'm really digging Malcolm again. You know, I loved him season one, and I was kind of lukewarm for most of the season, but I think they did a really good job here, and I'm really happy when we get these other flashbacks from other people's points of views.
Yeah, no, I think I really hope that from this point forward, if they keep in flashbacks at all, that they do flashbacks for other characters most of the time in future seasons of Arrow. Even
The thing, Flash is doing like very smart stuff with their flashbacks, because they like usually don't have them, and if they do, it's like always from a different perspective. And so I think that is kind of what Arrow should go forward with too. I love Malcolm this week. I think that they really, you know, fleshed him out in an interesting way. I do sort of hope that, like, and I was kind of hoping by this that he'd be like, I'm going to turn myself in all this is over. And I do hope we get a nice ending for him where he really
changes. Maybe. I sort of doubt it. That has happened so, like, the only case that I can think of that happening on any TV show, like, where it's sort of this type of vigilante type stuff or superhero type stuff, is in Angel when Faith turns herself in.
Yeah.
And that's a huge moment, but, like, it's partly a huge moment because it never happens.
Yeah.
The one thing that I didn't like about Malcolm's flashbacks was the child actors that they got for Tommy and Ollie. I'm sorry to these two children, but wow, I felt like they're stunted, and they didn't look quite enough like the older actors for me to be on board. And
I totally get you with Tommy. I actually didn't really have that much of an issue with Oliver.
He
had one line. I thought it was fine.
I thought it was okay at best. Yeah. Maybe it was also because we'd already seen Tommy being kind of negative. I had a
I get where you're coming from. It doesn't really surprise me. I had just as much issues with the Flash child acting, but
as many issues with the Flash child acting. I think it's partly because the Flash child acting, there was sort of more going on instead of just like being really sad.
Yeah,
it was like, you know, like he had almost an action sequence where he was like, you know, fighting off this bully, but, like, losing, and, had a lot more going on than just, like, being depressed.
Yeah. Speaking of flashbacks, you know, someone who I'd actually love to see flashbacks from is Roy, and so let's talk about Roy in general.
Yeah, Roy in this episode, this was, I think, Colton Haynes, the most acting he's actually gotten to do on an episode of Arrow. I thought that he was done, he did a really, really good job. I want to continue to see this level of activity from him, and this, I want him and Oliver to really to end up at odds. And I would actually, I don't think they're going to do a spinoff for him.
Yeah.
But if Colton Haynes ever went to another show, I would be totally okay with them doing an arc where he ends up breaking away from Team Arrow really dramatically.
Was it you that I was talking to where I was saying, wouldn't it be great if he could go to Titans?
Or no, you just tweeted about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that would be really dope. And yeah, probably it will not happen, obviously, yeah, because of the network.
Yeah. I think he really, you know, he really stepped up this week. He had a lot to do, and, you know, he had sort of a more leadership role. And he became more of an adult this week, I felt.
Yeah,
like,
and like, part of the reason that his character has generally been lackluster has been because he's just sort of agreeing with everyone all the time.
Yeah.
In this episode, there were scenes where he was sort of funny. There were scenes where he was lying, like when he lied to Lance about Sarah.
Yeah.
There were scenes where he was like strongly disagreeing with everyone else in the group and like having to deal with the results of the vote.
Yeah. Let's talk about the vote too. I thought the whole vote idea was really interesting, and I really appreciated that scene.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing obviously is that it was an even number. So I was a little surprised that it ended up being, I wasn't totally surprised.
Well, okay. So it's interesting because
it makes sense that the vote went the way it did.
Yeah. So it's interesting because judging from the talk they had before the vote, it seemed like, I think Laurel was kind of on Roy's side, but I think we're supposed to assume that all three of them voted against it.
No, he says it was me against you guys.
Yeah, so that is sort of interesting, because for most of that conversation, Laurel was like, I kind of see what Roy is saying. But I really did enjoy Diggle's line, and Diggle's really good at delivering lines like this, where he's talking to Malcolm and he's saying, like,
let the ends justify the means. It's one step closer to being like you.
Yeah, which I think was really, you know, that made a lot of sense. Yeah.
One thing that I wish they'd gotten out a little bit more explicitly, and they do later, is the specific reason that, like, especially right now, Felicity doesn't want to be on board with Malcolm, because it, like, if it doesn't really click for you that Malcolm was, like, the direct reason that they think Oliver's dead.
Yeah.
If you've been watching the show, then you totally get that. But if, like, you're sort of coming back in for whatever reason, if you've forgotten about that specific thing, then it sort of seems like she's, like, mad about the undertaking, that he's just generally a bad guy. So I think it would have just packed a punch if she'd been like, it's his fault Oliver's dead. He put Thea in danger. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And she was just being really vague. But that was mostly just a writing issue. So and it came up later in the episode.
Yeah. Well, do you want to talk a little bit about Felicity's final reaction? I know we're kind of skipping ahead, but since you brought that up, I've already seen a lot of people really over the top hating her for it, and it really pisses me off when people react that way.
Like rejecting Oliver.
Well, just her anger, her like disagreeing with him working with Merlin. It feels so much like a trope that's really come up in the last few years, as I've had a lot of big shows like Breaking Bad and Dexter and stuff, where we have the main character be an anti-hero. They often have like the wife who says the logical thing,
and then
you hate them.
No, yeah, I think I think it's super messed up that people have an issue with it. She's being totally reasonable, and also because the whole thing about only the student can defeat the master is BS.
Yeah,
Katana. I wanted Katana to like maybe initially refuse, but then like to actually be the one to come back and defeat Ra's al Ghul.
I mean,
because there's no reason that, like, you don't have to fight someone in the same style to defeat them. That is totally false.
I don't think that it would have made sense for her to defeat Ra's al Ghul, but he could have easily been the one who trained Oliver to defeat. I guess because I don't think it would have made sense, because she's such a side character to have her be the one to beat the main.
Yeah, so I guess I'm asking for a bigger change, but I also think they've super shortchanged Katana. Yeah. And also, like, there's also a trend in action and superhero movies where, like, there's like a male main character who, for some sort of special reason, whether oftentimes just that they're the main character of the piece of media, gets trained by a woman, which clearly means that the woman is capable of doing the thing.
Yeah.
But the woman's like, no, I'm going to train the guy to do the thing, so the guy can do the thing.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you just go do the thing?
Yeah. I still think it would make more sense for like Laurel to do it or something, you know, like, because at least Laurel is an ongoing character who's been around for a long time and who's had a bigger arc. Like, Katana's just such a side person to me, but no, but I do get where you're coming from with that general trope.
Yeah. But like, it's not like they did anything really good in the flashbacks up to this point that they couldn't have replaced with Katana, like, proving herself to be completely formidable with this. Like, I don't need, like, honestly, I don't need Maseo on the show.
Yeah,
if,
me either.
If it had been Oliver and Katana and her son and an absent father,
yeah,
that, I think, would have been even more compelling.
Yeah.
But yeah. Enough talking about things that could have been.
Because you brought up the student and the master thing, I just want to point out that it also, then when you have Malcolm being the one to train Oliver, that doesn't make sense either, because it's Malcolm should just kill him himself. Why can't Malcolm just do it?
Yeah, it seems like Malcolm's just sort of, like, scared.
Yeah, it doesn't make
of
sense.
Dying, which doesn't seem, which actually doesn't really seem to fit his character.
No, it doesn't.
Like, he doesn't seem like someone who's afraid of death. He seems like someone who, just from the way he's characterized, except for the fact that he keeps, you know, running away from Ra's al Ghul, I would expect that if it came down to it and he was, like, going to try and defend Thea, that he would totally lay down his life to save them.
And I actually think that's more likely than him handing himself in. I think that he'll probably die this season saving Thea.
Yeah, and, which is too bad because I really like John Barrowman, but on the other hand, it makes sense from a story perspective. Yeah.
So one thing we really liked was Sin and Wildcat came back.
Yeah, oh my god, I missed Sin so much. Like, she's just I just have a little bit of a crush on her. But I think that she's a really good character. I wish that she'd been back for more, just generally, but...
was she a fighter in previous episodes?
Not really. I mean, she's shown to, like, she grew up in the same environment as...
Roy.
Roy, and was good friends with... Remember, she was brought up with Sarah.
Yeah.
Remember? Because Sarah goes and after finding that guy on the island who died in the plane crash, she agrees to take care of Sin.
Find
her and take care of her. So she's so that's probably part of it.
Yeah.
In which case it makes less sense that she's not a more proficient fighter.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that Sarah sort of kept her out of League of Assassins completely and was, you know, took care of her peripherally but didn't want her to get caught up in her life.
Yeah. I didn't realize how much I missed her until she was back. I was like, it really was a breath of fresh air to bring in a character from the past again, and she was a very fun addition. And we got, finally, something for Lance to start realizing that he's being, you know, that everybody's being mean to him.
Yeah. I really liked there are obviously issues that we can talk about in relation to this, but I really, really liked when Lance was just like, you're Royal Harbor, obviously. That's completely ridiculous that you think I can tell who you were. I've seen you in a red hoodie firing arrows. Now you're just wearing a red suit. What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
But
no, I totally get. As on a comedic level, it totally works. On a logistical level, it brings up the issue of then how does he not realize who Canary is and who Oliver is and all that stuff. But
I mean, on the one hand, remember Oliver covered his ass back in season one by having Diggle pretend to be
that's true.
So like maybe he's still sort of going. Not that this show is like super into this, but police officers are trained that when someone has established an alibi, it's proof that they weren't, however much other evidence there might be, that's proof that they weren't the person. Yeah. We can give him that benefit of the doubt. Yeah. And Laurel did use a voice changer, and he didn't, and he would, of course, not want to believe that it wasn't Sarah.
Yeah. Did you like Wildcat's return? I mean, I'm glad they at least had him in the episode.
Yeah, I wanted him back way early. I wanted him back a few episodes ago to defend the Glades.
Yeah.
I actually would have really liked it if he'd been the one to defeat Brick.
Yeah.
And, like, say something about, like, this is the Arrow City. It's my neighborhood or something like that.
Yeah. I like that, yeah.
And I was a little bummed out that he just, like, is also unclear. It doesn't seem like he's dead, probably, because they didn't make a big enough deal of it.
Yeah.
But
that was kind of weird.
It's a little up in the air.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing
did think the fight was really cool, though. I was a fan of that fight.
Yeah, no, it looked good. I wish that he had a better costume.
Yeah. Well, I kind of liked how silly it was. Like, how just, like, bare bones it was.
Part of it was that it was, because it was all black, for, like, a split second, I thought it was Malcolm in a slightly different
I get that.
Outfit, but, like...
I also kind of wish that somebody other than Oliver was the one to talk Malcolm down at that moment. Like, I don't know who, maybe Thea, I don't know, it just felt out of place because Oliver hadn't been in this storyline the whole time, and, like...
Yeah, what I really wanted was, like, maybe Roy or Diggle or even someone to stop someone to stop Malcolm and, like, you know...
Roy could have easily said exactly what Oliver said, then, like, doing it for Thea because he cares about Thea. And
yeah, no, totally.
So
I wish... I just want more Roy. I've really come to dig Team Arrow. Oh, what did Lance call them?
The Hood Squad. Yeah.
Yeah, and I liked that line as well. Yeah.
Actually, that whole opening had like a couple of really quick little references where he's like, they joke about Arsenal, where he like makes fun of. He's like,
he's pulling names out of a hat now. Yeah. This is a really good episode. Let's see, anything else that we wanted to mention?
I feel like we can mostly move on. I'm excited for next week.
Yeah, I'm excited for next week too. Although, like, I should admit, like, at the end when I was hearing Oliver's voice so much, I was like, did I really miss it that much? Like, I really, really liked the team aerodynamic.
Yeah.
And I'd be really on board for Oliver to be, for them to be more collaborative and less everyone just following Oliver sort of blindly.
I agree.
I could do with a lot less of Oliver talking.
I'll be pretty upset if they don't have an episode soon where it's like he's telling them to do stuff and they're like, you know what, we did this without you and you're not just going to order us around anymore.
Yeah.
I think that should happen.
But let's move on. Let's move on to Flash, I guess, next, because it's in the same universe.
That works.
Yeah, so what did you think of this episode?
So, I had actually trouble grading it, because I had a ton of fun with it. I thought it was really, really enjoyable, but I did come up with some pretty, and you know, not intense negatives,
but like, serious
legitimate negatives. So, I'm giving it a B+, but I understand it lower or higher, honestly.
Yeah, I'd give it sort of the same grade. Yeah. I thought that there were things about it that were really good, and then there were things about it that were... there wasn't anything about it that really sucked, but there were things about it that were just, like...
legitimate issues.
Yeah, they were weak.
Yeah.
There were weak moments and bits of storylines.
So let's get this off the bat. Grodd, what did you think about that ending?
Can I be honest? I think the CGI looks really bad.
Okay, well, I can understand that.
Yeah, but I'm glad that they're going for it.
Yeah.
I hope that the CGI looks a lot better in future bits with him. I did enjoy just, like, watching them cut around not having him on screen to save money.
Well, yeah, the thing is, like, yes, it is obviously for money, but I also did think that editing-wise, it worked on a horror scale.
Yeah, no, totally.
I think it's interesting. So, like, very recently on the 100, they had a giant gorilla attack. And so, same network, same budget-ish. And that actually worked. It came out pretty good, but you got flashes of the gorilla most of the time. So I am interested. Like, I thought that as a ending sequence that was sort of horror-like, that this worked pretty well.
Yeah, but isn't Gorilla Grodd supposed to be like a super intelligent talking gorilla?
That was my next thing. Is that, like, you could have him just be a scary, like, shadowy,
horror villain,
exactly. But how do you have him be a talking smart?
Yeah, because otherwise he's just kind of a vicious gorilla.
Yeah.
He lives in the sewers. And except, like, actually, apparently he is intelligent because he can write his own name.
Yeah, I think that they will make him intelligent. I just don't know how they'll portray that.
Yeah, hopefully they just figure out a cheap way to do good CGI.
Yeah. Good luck, guys.
Well, I mean, it's... motion capture's come a long way.
Yeah. I'm just excited by the idea. We'll see where it goes, but I'm still excited by the tease.
Yeah. To be completely honest, I bet you that he ends up only being the primary villain in one episode, even though they've been building up to him this way.
Yeah.
Because he's just going to be so expensive.
Yeah, I can see that. Unless he's like... you know how, like, Deathstroke in Season 2 for a long time was just, like, from behind the scenes and, like, Brother Blood was working for him?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they could have Grodd be so intelligent that he's manipulating others to do some of his bidding so we don't have to see him a ton or something.
Or something. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. But let's move on to other things. So what did you think about the whole Caitlin and Barry stuff this week?
I had a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that... I had a ton of fun with it, actually. Yeah. I thought it was really, really enjoyable TV. The one thing that I saw, I think it was in the IGN review of this episode, was about how both on this show and on Arrow, they talk about the seedy part of town, and then they cut to it, and it's like, that was a really nice bar.
Yeah.
Like, they were in a nice
place. I did think of that as soon as I saw that.
They meant they were like, oh, they go to seedy dive bars on the, on the other side of Central City. And then I was like, oh, crap, they're going to be in a dive bar. And it's like a lounge area. It looks nicer than Fish Mooney's place, to be honest.
It really does.
It looks more comfortable, warmer atmosphere.
No, I totally agree. I feel honestly biased as far as Caitlin goes because I've like had a crush on Danielle Pennebaker since I was 13. So
what was she in?
She was in a ton of Disney stuff. She was in like a bunch of Disney original movies and things like that. And she was in Sky High.
Was she the girl in Sky High?
Yeah, she was the plant lady friend.
So
I like totally ship them, even though I understand that like it probably be better if they just stayed friends.
It's gonna be interesting if they ever decide to go to the Killer Frost route.
Yeah, I wonder. I have a feeling if they ever do, it'll be like an anti-hero.
Yeah,
like maybe like a Catwoman kind of thing.
I mean, there were things about vibe in this episode.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, if we want to, well, right, let's finish talking about.
Yeah, let's do some. Let's have a bit of shipping talk here, because I guess as far as like. Do you, because it did seem like they were at the end of the episode going with he sort of has a thing for him. And...
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really cute. I still think, like, I'm going to stand by what I said last week. I always think it's a little bit boring when people on the same side are like, oh, yeah, you're just so cute. We should just, even though we're hanging out all the time, we should hang out and kiss. But there's not really any, like, it's sort of
well,
like, right? There's not like any, it doesn't really raise the stakes that much. Because right now, Flash would put his life on the line just as much for Caitlin as he would if they were going out.
It's just a different side. It's not about the stakes, I don't think, as much as it's just a different kind of storytelling, and it does flesh out. And I think it actually works better with Barry because he seems like a real human who has a life. And that I've always really liked the parts of him just having a normal life.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
I am torn because I do really like them just as friends, and this is, you know, sort of the going with the cliche sort of thing. But
also the other thing is that they introduced a new love interest for him in this episode.
Yeah. So what did you think of the little bit of Linda Park that we got?
I thought that there wasn't enough to justify it being in the episode.
It was particularly hilarious because the promo was all about her and had scenes that are clearly from future episodes.
That's weird. Advertising is so weird.
Yeah.
But I liked her. I think that she's a totally reasonable person for Barry to like. I think it's a little bit ridiculous that she works at the same place as Iris.
Yeah.
Especially because Barry works at the same place as Eddie.
Yeah. So do you know about Linda Park's comic book connection?
No.
Okay. So I am interested to see where they go with this because Linda Park dates Wally West, who's obviously the second Flash. I think she marries him. And I also was thinking recently about what are they going to do about Wally West, because I'd be surprised if they never bring him in, but he's Barry's nephew, and currently he couldn't have a nephew, because he doesn't have any siblings, and Iris doesn't have any siblings.
He could have a nephew-in-law.
Yeah.
No. He could have an adopted nephew-in-law.
I guess.
Well, actually, no, he could have an adopted nephew, because actually, they never clarified whether Joe actually adopted him or not. I don't think I think that he was just a foster kid.
Yeah, so I wonder, I mean, I feel like the only way it works is if he doesn't end up with Iris and Iris has a son.
Or if they make it like... Actually, you know what I bet they do is they make it Iris's cousin.
Okay, yeah.
But regardless, actually, you know, what it does mean, because they've established that the West family is black, it's going to mean that there's going to be a black Wally West, or at least a biracial Wally West.
That's a good point. Unless, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Wally West wasn't necessarily, was called Wally Allen, and was Iris and Barry's son in the future.
Yeah, well, that would still be.
Oh, still be, yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah, obviously. Biracial. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. That's a really good point. That's really cool.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes. I mean, the other thing... Like, I was just thinking, like, yeah, but then they couldn't, like, have him do anything for, like, 18 years. And then I remember that eventually going to have time travel. And that's still
not even – it's, like, pretty soon. It's like two or three episodes from now.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
That's intense.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's talk about some of the other stuff in the episode.
Yeah. Peekaboo.
I thought that the power was really good. It was straight up Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
But I like that power, and I like that limitation on teleportation, too, that you have to be able to see where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that you have to be able to have light reflecting on you to go is a little bit silly. Yeah. I like the thing in Nightcrawler the reason that it works in Nightcrawler is because they make it an act of faith thing, and he's Catholic.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that idea. I thought that she ended up being a little shortchanged.
Yeah. I loved her introductory sequence with the music and the lighting and the way that was shot. I thought it was really fun. And I thought that as a villain for Flash, he was great. Like, you know, as someone who's actually kind of on his level. And then the climax was just kind of blah.
Yeah. Also, the thing where her guy gets away.
Yeah.
Was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because he, like, apparently just got out of the car and ran away. From the Flash.
Yeah.
He's just a person on foot? Question mark.
It also, I guess, was shot and it was kind of edited strangely. I guess he just suddenly was gone. I was like, what?
No, yeah, it looked it didn't really work for me.
Yeah.
But Peekaboo generally I liked, and I liked their fight thing where they were like going up and around the stuff, and the effect was cool too. I like the little poof of smoke thing.
Definitely, that's definitely great. And in general, the one really big advantage that Flash has over Arrow is they can have like these sort of two-dimensional villains, and they're still fun to watch because they have cool powers.
I mean, I always just prefer it when they're three-dimensional, but
No, I agree, but like if they could have had someone with this exact characterization who just had a gun and Arrow, and I would hate it way more.
It's kind of like Cupid, except more interesting.
Let's talk about his dad. So Barry's dad.
Oh my god!
And all that
I nearly cried. It was so good. And also, like the other, like I haven't watched Smallville, but apparently there's moments like this with Christopher Reeve. The passing of the mantle. If people listening to this don't know, John Wesley Shipp, who plays Barry's dad, played the Flash in the 1990 Flash TV show, and the part where he's like passing on the mantle and like having him be sort of, you know, heroic from within the in the prison.
It
was all very touching.
They worked really that they're like really, I can't tell if the writers are really good at writing dad speeches or if the actors are just so good that they make everything sound awesome.
John Wesley Shipp is a great dad actor.
He
plays the dad on Dawson's Creek really, really well. He plays the dad here really, really well. I really liked it.
It did kind of shine light on me, for me, though. The fact that he was so easily, he could so easily figure out Barry was the Flash made me go, wow, Iris is an idiot.
It's kind of silly.
I mean, I was thinking of you particularly when just the ending thing there where she's like, where she like tells Barry like, oh, I need the Flash in order to do well in my job, and then the Flash shows up like the day later, and it's just like, how is she not putting any of this together?
You're a good reporter, that's why I picked you, and you're the only one I know. Awkward. It's like, no, sometimes you, Barry, your secret identity might be worth more than Iris having a job she doesn't deserve.
It was also really weirdly, like, it was really weird for the theme of the episode, because it literally cut from him being like, I need to move on, to him doing that not moving on thing, and then back to him having moved on.
I guess maybe it's just sort of a friendship deal.
Yeah.
But, like, because you know that those feelings are still there, it's kind of silly.
Yeah. I am interested to see, currently, like, if I was going to ship people, I would ship Iris and Eddie and Caitlin and Barry, and I can't assume, I don't think either of those can work out, because both of them are going to have villains in there, but
yeah,
I don't know.
So there was one thing, we actually talked about this on our Agent Carter podcast, CarterCast, but we talked about, we were comparing the scene in Agent Carter this week where Carter undresses in a locker room to change into more appropriate clothing for a mission, compared to the scene in this episode where Caitlin gets changed when she's really drunk. So we talked about in Agent Carter, it was like, you know, it's always feels a little bit gratuitous when they're showing people changing their clothes, and you can sort of feel like this the studio is pushing to try and, you know, titillate male viewers. But on the other hand, in Agent Carter, it led to a really, really important story development, which if you haven't seen the episode yet, I won't spoil it for you, but it led to a really, really important story development, and it wasn't that sexualized. In this, it was, I didn't really feel like it was tremendously sexualized.
It was more comedic. It was like more like titillatingly comedic. I don't want to have this go into a massive debate, but I will at least, in their defense, like, the pictures from next week are Ronnie with his shirt off, and they've had Barry with his shirt off, and so, I mean, like, that could lead to a huge debate, I know that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I won't get into a huge debate about this. I'm just going to say that male shirtlessness is associated a lot more with power than female shirtlessness. But in any case, I didn't have a huge issue with it because they played it for comedy and...
And the shots weren't, like, super significant.
Yeah,
like, it was pretty
wide
angle.
They didn't have, a slow moving up the body shot and showing Barry, like, sort of leering at her at all. In fact, Larry, it seemed like Barry... There's sort of two sides to this. Barry, you know, changed her super quickly. Of course, when Barry's moving at super speed, time can stop, basically. Time can actually stop and move. So, hypothetically, he could have been looking at Caitlin naked for as long as he wanted, pretty much. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he was more honorable than that.
Well, my dad also pointed out the fact, he's like, how does it work? Like, he must have been moving really fast, because how does he, like, how is she standing up straight and he like puts pants on her?
Yeah, and like, yeah, there have been a lot of inconsistencies in how Barry like sort of uses the Speed Force to move other people around.
Yeah,
like there was the earlier, like, this comes to mind especially because of the shirtlessness thing.
Yeah,
where Felicity's shirt caught fire.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh no, her shirt caught fire. I guess she has to take her shirt off. And then obviously in this it didn't happen. And also like when they go from the bar to the apartment,
yeah,
he's like not like carrying her in his arms. He's like holding her sort of to his side, and she's like yeah. walking alongside.
Yeah.
So did he just like put her down really fast too? And like the other thing that always occurs to me, partly just because I'm still hung up on The Amazing Spider-Man 2, is the fact that no one like cracks their neck with whiplash when he does it.
Oh yeah, yeah. That is interesting.
And like obviously they address that in Days of Future Past where he holds Magneto's head.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know that, yeah. they can't do that every time, I guess. Yeah. It's just a logistical thing, but
yeah.
Sometimes it gets a little nervous with the inconsistencies. So the other big thing to talk about this week is Cisco,
yeah.
His storyline.
So I really liked it. I mean, I have a con written here. It's not really a con as much as like that was surprising. It's
yeah.
just the fact that he was like an able fighter, I thought was kind of out of nowhere. But
yeah, I was okay with it. Partly, I think that it was just a little overly choreographed.
Yeah.
I also think that Hartley seemed like he was a way more proficient fighter than I'd expect him to be, because he's
yeah.
like really good with tech. But because he's really good with tech, I wouldn't expect him to be a brilliant hand-to-hand combatant.
Yeah.
But the thing that got to me way more about the storyline is just how stupid Cisco was. Letting him out, like not bringing it to the group to talk about it. Like there's so many other routes that he could have taken and. You know, Caitlin told him not to go into it, but he could have gone into it with Wells or with Barry.
I did appreciate a couple moments here. I think I would say this is one of his best character development episodes.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I definitely appreciated how like strong and cold he was when he used the device on Pied Piper.
Yeah.
And I also really appreciated the callback. I had like forgotten about like episode 2 or 3 where we saw that he was the one who locked Ronnie into the thing. So it really is personal.
You forgotten
for him.
About that? I hadn't forgotten
about
that.
Yeah, I completely forgotten.
I hadn't realized that he hadn't brought it up yet.
Yeah.
But the other cool thing, obviously, for anyone who doesn't know, Cisco Ramon in the comics becomes Vibe. Mm-hmm. He's sort of he's a Sonic character, right?
He
uses vibrations and sound in some sort of superpower way.
I do wonder, I mean, like, if you have him and you have Caitlin potentially as an anti-hero or something, maybe you don't even bring in Wally West. Like, maybe you don't need that.
I bet that Wally West doesn't come in until at least season 3.
Yeah.
At the earliest.
Yeah.
But the thing that I really like is that they've set up Hartley and Cisco, like, really at odds in, like, a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
Like, so, but having two, like having the Pied Piper versus Vibe is going to be a cool fight.
Yeah. Can I start shipping Pied Piper and Cisco?
You mean, you could.
I don't know. I just feel like that would be fun.
I'm not going to. but the fact that he let him out just seemed kind of ridiculous. And also, like, the fact that they, like, broke in to the police department and use their computers.
Yeah.
It's not like they don't have an in at the police department.
Yeah.
Like, you could have.
I guess he would say he didn't want to tell Joe because Joe would never agree to working with Pied Piper or whatever.
It was just looking up some police footage. It wasn't
So we did get some more Firestorm knowledge out of this, and it wasn't like a huge revelation, but I am glad that next week it looks like it's coming to the forefront and we're going to really get some momentum there.
I mean, it was a big revelation for people who didn't know
the
comics at all. Yeah. And there's undoubtedly a lot of people who watch The Flash who who like don't look it up on IGN all the time like we do. So the introduction of, is his name Martin Stein, is that right?
This Dr. Stein is what I know him
Dr.
by.
Stein.
It might be Martin.
That the idea of that character, and I'd love to see more with Firestorm and developing that character.
Yeah.
It is interesting how much like how quickly Flash is becoming an ensemble show.
Yeah.
I mean it isn't really yet, but like Firestorm is working his way up there.
Yeah.
Wells is pretty much revealed to be Reverse Flash, or is revealed to be at least one Reverse Flash.
I am interested to see how ongoing Firestorm becomes once he sort of gets control. Do you think he's just like a second hero, or he pop in and out? Like,
I'm still, man. The other thing, the other thing that I meant to bring up when we were talking about Arrow is the lack of Adam, the lack of talking about Adam.
Yeah.
Just like, you know. Or having a scene in the last episode to like really emphasize that the suit isn't ready, because it seemed like she brought him the thing that he needed to make the suit ready.
That's true.
And the suit looks really good from the promotional image.
Yeah.
So like that's just one quick callback to Arrow. Yeah. But yeah, so
they need a Firestorm and Adams team up spinoff show.
That would probably be pretty dope, actually.
Yeah. I'd be on board.
I still think that they should just abandon the whole movie thing and do a Justice League TV series, like, or no, like do a whole bunch of TV series and lead up to a Justice League TV series, sort of like they're doing with.
Well, imagine how cool it would have been if we had like five different TV shows all about separate heroes, and then we had a movie that combined all those people.
I can't believe that I'm hearing Dan advocating for a movie over a TV show.
For a team of superheroes, I'd actually prefer a movie.
Or what if they did specials?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, that's what they should do. They should do Justice League specials.
So when none of this happens, but
yeah.
All right, let's move on to Gotham.
And after talking about these other two, like I liked this episode, but you giving it a B+, I guess giving it a B+ within its own self, but I feel bad giving it the same grade as Flash. I think I'm going to give it a B.
Yeah, I felt I had given it a B+ before I had even watched Flash. I'm giving it a B+ for Gotham. I think it was like last week I gave it a B. I think it was better than last week. So yeah,
it's last week was an 85. This week is an 86. It's still a B.
So okay, so what are some of the things you liked about it?
I liked especially Bullock's arc in this episode. I thought that his, although there was one aspect of it that I found a little weird. I found his interest in the girl and sort of like going after her.
Yeah.
I found that a little bit creepy and unsettling. Mm-hmm. Like he's a professional. He should be doing his job. And like this woman's friend was just murdered and he's sort of hitting on her.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I also, it depends on how you think the show wants you to view it, because I kind of just think of it like Bullock is creepy and like you might understand him and sort of like him, but not, you never, I don't think you could ever fully like him. You could never be a fully good person.
I like Bullock though. and the other thing though is just that they, was it two episodes ago or one episode ago,
it was last week with
last
Luke
week
Fish.
He was making out with Fish.
Yeah,
so this seems a little. So I think actually what we're supposed to read it as is that it's a red herring that he's interested in her romantically and he's actually just really legitimately interested in what she... No, well, that doesn't make any sense. He was asking about if she was available for dinner afterwards.
So you know what I think? No, I think he actually does like the girl. I think the Fish thing is that he's hoping he never sees Fish again and he was kissing her goodbye and thinking she's gone now. It doesn't... It is very unclear what his actual ongoing relationship with Fish was. I think he cares about her. I don't know that he, like, actually had a relationship with her.
I read it as they had a relationship.
I did too, but I think it's sort of ambiguous, and given this week, that's how I'm choosing to read it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah. But other than that, I really, really liked Bullock's performance at the support group meeting, and his whole thing about being terrified all the time as a cop, but not sort of being able to own up to it. Mm-hmm. It was a really, actually for me, it was something that was really interesting in terms of like looking at violence and masculinity.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, he's like this, you know, tough cop and he's always hustling criminals to get information and like, you know, he's like a moderately violent cop, especially at the beginning of the season.
Definitely.
He's, you know, a moderately violent cop, but like that comes, he has, you know, mob ties and that's a lot.
Yeah.
So we'll see what ends up happening in terms of that. But I thought that.
I am interested to see. I'd like them to bring in his alcoholism a little bit more too. I think the actor is so good. I really like that actor in that role, and I'm definitely happy that both he and Gordon, I feel like, got more to do this week and are more full characters this week. So you know, still ways to go, but heading in the right direction. As far as Gordon, I think that the his interactions with Leslie were pretty on point this week, because better than anything he's had with Barbara, better than anything he's had with Leslie in the past.
I pretty much agree. I like Leslie. But, like, I'm not like, oh, this is the best thing that's ever happened on television. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
definitely like, not. Yes, the best thing that's happened romantically on Gotham. It's I don't know.
I think the best thing that's happened romantically on Gotham was Bullock and Fish kissing. I think that's, like, the biggest revelation in terms of romance.
I think that they. I don't know, but so we didn't get much from them. I don't have any idea if they actually have chemistry. I feel like they actually feel like they have chemistry between Leslie and Gordon. I think that his awkwardness really added something to him as a human, and that it shows that he does have an issue that his job is completely his life, and that...
I mean, yeah, that is true. The other thing, though, what would have made me way more, like, excited about this would be if Gordon had a backstory.
Yeah, no,
like,
I agree.
He doesn't really have one, or not one that's, like, clear and, you know, referenced in terms of sort of, like, his life before this show. He sort of seems to just walk into it.
Yeah. It's funny, with all the casting we're getting about, like, what's happening with the rest of the season and everything, that we still haven't got casting on who his dad is going to be. Because his dad has to show up, right? They've mentioned his dad, like, 6 or 7 times, and that has to be an episode where his dad shows up and we have some sort of flashback or something.
I guess.
It'd be really surprising, because they even mentioned him last, like, 2 weeks ago, when Commissioner mentioned him again.
Yeah. I guess we should move on to some other stuff, though.
Yeah.
I thought the Penguin and Maroney stuff was really... My main complaint about the Penguin and Maroney stuff was Penguin escaping.
Mm-hmm.
It was so... It was, like, comic book, but, like, not in a good way to me. Like...
The phone call you're talking about specifically?
Yeah, and also just, like, the melodrama of, you know, crushing him alive.
I liked it.
I thought that, like, it wasn't like he was setting an example for other people who are around. If he'd shot him and then put him into the car compressor, it would have been just as effective. And also the fact that he was just going to leave. Maroney almost didn't even see anything happen. Yeah. He was just going to leave.
I don't know. First of all, it is comic booky. I appreciated that. I appreciated the mise-en-scene of it, and just the, you know, the visual thing of it coming closer and closer and him getting squeezed and squeezed.
Yeah,
and
I just wanted it. I liked that part. And I would have even been okay if they'd actually killed Penguin that way. I would have been okay with it.
Yeah.
Like, that was a dope death for Penguin.
Yeah.
But they didn't. He's just...
I thought that it worked, especially, I especially liked Maroney in this week, because Maroney I've been very kind of lukewarm on since his introduction, and this is by far his best episode, and I guess, the thing for me is, if you're gonna have a show that's so, like, centered on its villains, and they're actually villains, they're not anti-heroes, like Falcone and Maroney and Penguin, all these people, like, even, Fish, we don't know anything
they
want to
do is
about.
They want to get to the top of the criminal underworld through violent acts, that's the whole deal.
So the only way I'm gonna, like, root for them is if they're, like, clever or, like, good at what they're doing, and they're better than the other stupid criminals. So, like,
better than the other smart criminals.
Yeah, exactly. So when Maroney, you know, the way he outsmarts Penguin with the blanks and everything, and he was a much more physically imposing presence, and just the fact that he didn't cave, that Penguin didn't convince him that, you know, he was like, I'm done with you, that worked for me really well.
Oh, you know, the other thing that I didn't like about, actually, the end of it, though, is that I feel like we've had the scene... where Penguin is on the side of the road.
Yes.
He gets picked up by some people.
Yep.
And then he looks really angry in the car. Last time he killed them, so I wouldn't be that shocked if he murdered all these nuns. All these churchgoers.
That reminded me
super stereotypical. Yeah.
No, that scene was by far the worst scene in the episode, in my opinion. But you did just remind me. I forgot that, like, for the first, like, 5 or 6 episodes of the show, he was just, like, violently murdering 2 or 3 people a week.
Yeah, for, like, no particular reason. Yeah, I kind of liked that in a way. I thought that, like, having that sort of, like, completely manic murder... I mean, I guess that sort of stayed through.
Yeah.
It hasn't been quite as much in the last few episodes, but, like, he killed Frankie and a few other characters. My one issue with Maroney being intelligent is that... It was such a production to bring him back down from upstate.
Yeah.
To put him into a car and to put that car in a car compactor, call Duffy and say, hey, crush this guy. I'm gonna leave, though.
I get that. Well, I also thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was ridiculous they didn't take his phone from him in the first place.
Yeah, no, like, there was all... It was a big plot hole for me, and it was just...
Yeah, I get that.
How
do you feel about Penguin generally? Because I know Nare is really, really big about him and thinks he's, like, one of the best villains we've had on TV. And I think the actors
on TV. I think he's the best villain we've had on
Gotham.
Gotham.
Yeah,
I guess.
I think is doing a really good job, but I don't feel like the character is that interesting.
I mean, he's exactly what everyone says. He thinks he's way smarter than he actually is, and he keeps getting out of tight spots.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that he's, like, actually that great. He's just lucky.
Yeah, I mean, the character has... I mean, the actor has some really nice mannerisms he gives to the character, and I think that he is really creepy, and he does the, like, I'm gonna murder everything really well, but I don't feel like he just feels like... I don't feel like he's a full villain in the way
Malcolm
is.
And then there's moments where you're like, is that Pete Wentz?
That's like more Riddler.
Actually, I guess there's a couple more things. There's a lot in this episode. Yeah. There's a couple more things we should talk about.
Let's talk about Riddler a little bit.
Riddler? Yeah. So I felt like they were really setting up Riddler in this episode. They made him more likable and interesting, but I'm just still not, like, I guess I just have to get on board because they're going to do it. Yeah. But I'm just not on board with the Riddler storyline yet. It's way too early. I just haven't been on board with the Riddler being this prominent on the show the whole time.
Okay, so this is my feeling. So I think it's interesting that you feel like it's way too early, because we're already seeing Penguin basically as the Penguin. We're already seeing Electrocutioner. We're seeing a version of Scarecrow.
No, that's why I think that it's too early. I think that he makes the show too crowded. And because all the other characters have already established themselves so much more.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's been around, but he hasn't been villainous. He's just been creepy.
Well, okay, so, but that's... Yeah, I guess that's my thing, is if he's gonna be in the show this much, I'm preferring that he actually is getting somewhere, that he's growing and not just saying a riddle every week. Like, they've decided he's a regular, he's gonna show up a lot. If he's gonna show up a lot, let him do more than just be the forensic guy. That's my feeling. So I actually liked Riddler this week. I don't even really know why. Like, I was like, why did I enjoy it this week and I didn't enjoy it last week? I mean, I guess it's partially because they actually had the progression of him doing something messed up for the first time, really.
Yeah, he's just weird. He's just like that's actually also the reason I don't really like him very much. I feel like he's just weird.
Yeah.
Like, that's his main thing, is that he's weird and wacky. Mm-hmm. And I know that Riddler kind of is that, just as a character.
Yeah.
But I wish that they would, like, reinterpret him enough to make him feel a little bit more human. Mm-hmm. And I'm never happy when Riddler's on the screen. Riddler, to me, is almost as bad as Hong Kong.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. I'm always like, God damn it, here's Riddler. Okay, tell
us. Out of context, that's one of the, like, more hilarious lines to say. Okay. Riddler is almost as bad as Hong Kong. Let's talk about Bruce. I liked, he was very minimal this week, but I liked his being angry at Gordon, and I think that it's a good kick in the pants for a storyline that hasn't really been treading water for a really long time. I thought there was going to make him more... He didn't really end up doing anything. Gordon didn't end up doing anything. I thought it was going to be like, oh, now I feel bad, so I'm going to really try, but maybe that will be next week.
Honestly, it would have been pretty great if the mid-season finale... Mm-hmm. Was him solving the Wayne murder, but the person getting away, and then not bring the person back until, like, mid-season finale of season 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
And like, there being a degree of closure on that storyline.
Well,
I also really don't need to see Bruce Wayne in this TV show.
Okay, that's something you have to just kind of, like, go, because he's not doing anything bad right now. He had a very fine scene this week. In fact, I thought it was good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that it is weird that basically we haven't really gotten any new development on the Wayne murder story since that episode Viper, which was, like, ages ago, where it's like, oh, maybe Wayne Industries is somewhat
the
involved.
The leak of the green gas.
Yeah, exactly. That was, like, episode 2 or 3. That was episode 2, I think. Episode 3 of Flash. But, yeah, so that was a long time ago. That was 10 episodes ago.
Yeah, it was episode 3 of Flash, episode 4 of Gotham. Gotham started a week earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think that the more interesting thing to talk about here is the Crane stuff, the Scarecrow stuff.
Yeah, what did you think about it?
I think that it's an okay way to introduce the character. A huge part of it is just that it's hard to do the villains on this show properly because they're not supposed to be supervillains.
Yeah.
And the idea of maybe they're, like, sort of leading towards a Vertigo or Viper similar thing. With the, because like he's harvesting the adrenal glands.
Well, it's, I think it's supposed to be a precursor of the fear toxin.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it is interesting that they're having this connection. I actually like for you know that they're doing the sort of like he passes it down to his son thing, so that you can sort of have Gordon fight a version of Scarecrow while not messing up the canon.
Yeah.
I think that that's interesting. I don't think that I'm actually more. I think he was fine this week.
Man,
It wasn't great, and I think
nobody in
next week
Gotham
is.
City should be a parent. All the kids are so messed up.
It's
Have we
really
seen a
true.
single together kid on this show at all? No. Like, definitely not.
No.
Like,
I
there
mean,
were the bullies
it depends
who
on
are
what you depends on
bullies.
what you think of Selina Kyle. She's probably the closest.
But, like, yeah, she's like the morally closest to being not messed up, but she's like messed up in terms of like she hasn't had an okay childhood at all.
Nope.
And like her moral compass has been thrown completely out of whack because of necessity. And it's just poor children in Gotham.
Just to end out, what did you think about the fish ending?
I think you wrote this down, and I sort of agree that I wish that we had one more episode away from her. I think that it's very ex I thought the ending was very exciting.
Well,
And
okay, do you think that they know each other?
I presumed so.
Okay. And it's definitely an attack. It wasn't like a I wasn't sure if it was going to be like an old lover or sibling, like maybe it's a
It
fake
looked like an
out.
attack to me. I mean, they could make a twist next week, but it looked like a sincere. I mean, they shot that dude
Yeah, that's
who,
true.
yeah, it's not like they were, it's not like he suddenly appeared in her door subtly.
I
He.
don't see now. I really don't think it was exciting at all because I was just like, okay, we're gonna end this episode of the thing that connects with nothing else that's happened in the rest of this episode or any episode before now, and a random guy who we have no idea who he is gonna attack a character who I don't care about.
Yeah, that's on you. I care about Fish. So if you care about Fish, then that means a lot more, obviously.
But he's not gonna get killed there, so I don't
No,
know.
yeah, but that is true. But she might be fighting for her life and be put into a, or she might get like kidnapped or whatever. There's all kinds of things that could happen. I thought much higher of this episode when it first came out, but maybe it's partly just because,
In comparison to the other
yeah,
shows.
it's rough for it to be on a Monday and then Flash on Tuesday and Arrow on Wednesday, because by the time Flash and Arrow roll around, I'm like, you're just not that good a show, Gotham.
Yeah, no, I totally think that if Gotham had come out 2 years earlier, I would be much more excited about it.
Yeah. They would come out at the same time as Arrow, you mean?
Yeah, because yeah, like season one of Arrow was not that great, and I was still eating it up because it was like the only show. So
Except season one of Arrow was better than season one of Gotham. So you would have been like, oh, there's these two shows. This one is clearly better.
see, I don't actually know that I agree with that. I have to rewatch season one, but I had some major issues with season one until the second half.
See, actually, season one of Arrow and season one of Gotham would have been really interesting in parallel because of the relationship with the police
Yeah. Well, also,
and the corruption of the police versus the not corruption and all that jazz.
like the pilot of Gotham is vastly superior to the pilot of Arrow, in my opinion. So I don't know what I would have thought of them back to back, but I absolutely I think that I've liked I hate I absolutely hated the
Huntress.
Huntress. I absolutely hated the Huntress episodes much worse than any episode of Gotham.
Man, you have really strong feelings about those
Yes.
episodes. I think, man, I do not have nearly those strong feelings.
I really
But
hate them.
in any case,
Closing out, yep.
so if you want to get in touch with us and check out more of our content, you can check us out on Twitter at Superhero TV Pod, or you can also check out our website, smallscreenjustice.wordpress.com.
Yes, and if you want to send feedback to us to get read on the podcast, you can either send us an email at smallscreenjustice@gmail.com or write us a review on iTunes and we'll read that too. We'd
You can
love a
also tweet
review.
at us.
Yes, please do. Thank you for listening, and
Small Screen Justice will be back in a flash.